All right. Good morning, Retired
Morning.
Avis Friendship Mission. I know there's been a lot of things going on there. Do you want to just jump in? Just give us a little bit about what it is for those who don't know exactly, and then kind of what's going on with you.
Sure. So Friendship Mission is a set of homeless shelters and a public soup kitchen here in the city, operating almost 30 years, with lots of connections to the Presbyterian Church. Our founder is now retired, but was our Presbyterian minister at the time. So we shelter men, which is how Friendship was started as a men's shelter. And we also have a soup kitchen at that location. So men, women, and children who don't live in our shelters but need a meal prepared for them can come during meal times and get a meal. It's now to go. Before COVID, it was all in person and inside, but now it's a to-go meal, and it makes it a lot easier and safer for staff to handle. So then our women and children shelter opened officially with little houses that the mission bought, and then moved into a building also connected to Trinity. Moved into a building in 2013. So, and that building was on Chisholm Street. So we are still on our feet, but we've faced some tough times recently.
Right. So how many people are in your shelter? I think it's probably stays full, but how many people does that include?
So 30 men. We're short a few beds, and we're taking care of that this month. But that'll take us up to 34 beds is our capacity at the men's shelter. And at the women and children's shelter, we can safely hold 22 adults and then any number of children. And we've had up to 22 children in the building. Yes, wow. It gets
I bet. Well, tell us about the building and some of your recent struggles there. I know that y'all have some
Oh, yeah.
tough months.
Some tough months. So lots of plumbing issues. So the building on Chisholm Street, where the women and children are, was built in 1950. And the pipes literally just pop and break when they're ready. And so even if a sink is not running, what I've learned a lot about plumbing in 5.5 years at Friendship. Even if a sink is not turned on, if the pipe breaks, there will be a very large water gush. So we've had that happen 4 times now from the same set of pipes, and then twice from 2 other sets of pipes. So all of that happened within a 4 month span in 2023. All of those emergency fixes, plus a lot of roofing issues, led to financial hardship, where I had no choice but to fix those issues right now. But that just led to, oh my goodness, there isn't enough money to make payroll. So, or pay for them power. So we took care of that and fixed it. The alarm in the community came forward.
It's fine.
Hey, William and Daniel, we hear you.
So sorry.
That's okay. So those have been some of our financial hardships. And then just roofing. There are many roofing structures at the women and children's shelter because it's so many buildings kind of stuck together, or even if not stuck together, they're in use, like our garage last summer. And the main building at the women and children's shelter. So all of those roofing issues. And then we think we're finished and we learn, oh no, there's a whole different roofing structure. So there's also a metal roof, and that's the thorn in our side right now, the metal roof. Tom has learned a lot about metal roofing lately. So that's kind of where we are with that. Just trying to keep the buildings going. The men's shelter has had a lot of work. We had to renovate the bathrooms. And it sounds frivolous, but it's not when it becomes a safety issue. The toilets would not sit flush on the floor. The flooring was coming up in all the shower. One of the shower stalls had a hole in it. And you think, so that takes us down to 3 shower stalls that are safe to use, but there's 30 men in the building. It's difficult. So lots, the men's shelter was built for one washer and one dryer. And so you have 30 to 34 men using those machines. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always the dryer went out. The washing machine is flooding the floor. There's always something. So maintenance is a big deal. And then we have people. We take people who are homeless. And sometimes they are homeless with a developmental delay. Sometimes they are homeless with severe mental health challenges. Sometimes they are homeless with an addiction. And so you never know what state of mind someone is in. And they just might think it's a good idea to flush a stick of deodorant down the toilet. Plumbing problem. So all of those things. And then just the day-to-day supplies that are needed to keep a shelter going. You know, when eggs are $30 at Sam's Club, then you have an issue.
Eggs used to be such a great go-to and expensive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now we have some chickens that donate to us. So thankfully, the cook is, yes, the cook is not happy when the chickens decide that they're done for the season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's when we go back to Sam's and try to scrape together the Sam's cash and just make it work. But, most recently, we've talked about expansion. There are buildings at the Women and Children's Shelter that have not been used in many, many, many years. There's a total of six. There are three that a lot of work and funding and a lot of prayers can be up and usable as emergency shelter before the end of this year.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And especially if we do building by building, like there's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk that's been generated, and it's moving into, we really do need this. So Friendship is the only large-scale shelter left in Montgomery, and we were built to be the small-scale local shelter. Yeah, and now we're it. Family Promise has three units up and running, and the moment they get a unit renovated, it's full.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're waiting on Jamie to get unit number four done. In the meantime, we have more seniors who are coming to the shelters, and some of them are actually 62 or older. Some are 58, and if you're 58, the benefits just aren't there for you. Or maybe you have such bad health that you have received Social Security early, but it's not a lot, and no one has helped you get into affordable housing, so therefore you're homeless. So for all of those reasons, we have a larger need for emergency shelter space for those who are 55 and older. And they come with, some are, the medical issues don't present, you know, automatically.
Right.
For some, you see it because there's an oxygen tank, a colostomy bag, a cane, a walker, a wheelchair. And we're it. Where are they going to go? Or the only bed we have is upstairs.
Yeah.
At the Women and Children's Shelter, for instance, the men's shelter. The issue isn't stairs, but it could be a bunk bed. Well, then we have to rearrange everybody else in the house to get this one person in, and it can be daunting. So we've talked to several elected officials because they've come to us and said, hey, what are we going to do with the elderly? You tell me. That's
help
kind
me.
Of where we are. Yeah, we have this is a season, the beginning of the year, when taxes start to come through, where the moms really don't want shelter. They have a $5,000 to $11,000 tax refund. They're like, I can make it in an apartment or a hotel or whatever their mind tells them. So we actually had a room renovated for free as a charitable gift from Goodwin Construction, Goodwin Builders, and we ended up making that. a singles room. It's usually a family room, but we made it a singles room because we had more singles asking for shelter than moms with children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there were so many, we either turned away five people or we can put them in this room that's been renovated. The other thought behind that, honestly, was the singles will do better at taking care of it than a mom with kids. If mom turns her back and you push your little brother into the brand new wall. Well, unfortunately, we had a situation where a law enforcement officer dropped a woman off at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm.
And the staff decided, well, we'll just put her in the new room and we'll make it work. Yeah. The voices in her head. So the walls have been damaged. And Goodwin had taken that room literally down to the studs and rebuilt the walls. And now those new walls have holes in them. So there's my report to the board. So that's one of the things we deal with when we can't get people into mental health fast enough. Because they are so overloaded.
They're so overloaded, right?
And so,
You know, the ones that get the tax refunds and say they can make it on their own now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, what kind of choices are they making? Are you eventually going to see them again because of the bad choices that they get?
For some, others. So this tax season, for instance, we have one family who I know they're on their feet. She was working and I have been on her to save her money. Plus she came to us with a housing choice voucher, formerly known as Section 8, when she came to us, but she just had to wait for her name to be called on that list. And the list for what we formerly call Section 8, for housing choice and for public housing, which are two different programs under the housing authorities. The list in Montgomery is so long that she went through the Troy Housing Authority and decided to take a Troy Housing Authority covers Troy, Lowndes, and some other counties. So she found a house in Lowndes County, and drives to her $10 an hour job in Montgomery.
Now, is that a weight due to the fact that there's not any housing for them, or is it that they have to wait until there's a slot in the funding or is the funding available, but there's just no housing there to rent?
There's not enough housing, and now there's even less in the wake of COVID with the housing crisis that has ensued.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you owned a house and said, you know, well, I inherited this house from Uncle Joe. Let me just make it available as low-income housing for someone, and I'll get part of my money from the government, and then the tenant pays the other part.
Right.
Well, what happened in COVID? The government said you can't evict someone if they can't make their rent during a pandemic. So for 2 years, homeowners were like, I didn't get the money.
Yeah.
And it's not like I can go back and get it.
Right.
And so now that it's all over, I'm never doing that again. Exactly. And even before the pandemic, public housing was backed up in most places, right? Mm-hmm. Even in Prattville, public housing and low income housing are hard to find. So people are going where they can, but wherever. In Montgomery, there's more than 10,000 on the waiting list for public housing.
Oh, wow.
That shows you, and I don't know the number for Section 8, but for public housing, like at Gibbs Village,
mm-hmm.
It was 10,000 last year. Right.
Yeah.
And it's because that many people are struggling. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, we have a whole lot of fast food places mm-hmm. in the city.
Yeah.
Right. Before the pandemic, which one paid the most? Chick-fil-A. There's only two Chick-fil-A locations in Montgomery, one in Prattville, and in Montgomery, $9 an hour. If you were just a regular Chick-fil-A worker, not a manager, you were doing pretty good at $9 an hour. But it's still not enough to pay rent anywhere in the city. So therefore, you have people on this very long list trying to get into public housing. And the list just keeps growing. And now that you have more seniors or senior living folks who need assistance, it's just a domino effect and it's all piling up. And so there's always been this long list that we just can't get through. We literally can tell when they're trying to clear their list because they send a million notices to former residents at the shelter, people who've been gone for 2 or 3 years. So at this point, we open them. We're going to help you clear this list. We know that this person passed away 3 years ago. Take her off your list so somebody will move up at least a notch.
Right.
So that's what we do. Yeah. And it is what it is. So like I said, people are trying to get Pike County Housing Authority in the pandemic. Even Tallahassee, all those smaller towns. Their apartment complexes were hard to get into. You just couldn't get there. There was a list. Now those lists are starting to do better, and they're not so long, or maybe there's no list at all. But the requirements to get into a place are higher. Your credit score has to be better. You have to show, this is our favorite part. If the rent is $500, you need to show 3 times the income or some money in savings to qualify for that apartment. Well, if I had that much, I wouldn't need low income to help
you. Right, right.
So it makes it very difficult. And we've had to turn to private landlords to say, please, well, can you give this person a chance? We know you have a 2-bedroom. We're doing what we can. So
you work with all the agencies to help your folks.
Yes.
I mean, do you have social workers? I mean, I think
we have case managers, so they don't have to have a social work license or degree. Just recently, in the past 2 years, we've altered our requirements for that job so that it doesn't have to be a person with a degree, but they have to show experience and resource connections. So case management is one of our pillars at Friendship Mission, because we want people to be able to get on their feet, and they need that guidance.
Absolutely.
So the case management offers wraparound services. So if you come to us and you have a blood pressure problem, but you don't have a primary care doctor, we connect you to Medical Outreach Ministries or some other charitable program so that you can get your blood pressure under control and maybe go to work. We have case managers who know the resources in our community, and they know how to connect people to those resources, whether it's WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, or it's TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or it's disability or rehab services, so that you know you have a learning disability, you're now 40, and you want to work, but you just can't figure out how to hold a job or can't figure out what you're good at. Rehab services helps our residents figure all of that out and then connects them to a job.
Wow.
Yeah. So we leverage our partners' resources so that our residents are connected. So that's a lot of moving and shaking for case management.
Absolutely.
If you're talking to someone who hasn't had her medicine for bipolar disorder or hasn't had his medicine for schizophrenia in months, you have to figure out everything. And sometimes they say, I don't have an ID. I lost it in Texas. Okay, well, where were you born? So we figure all of that out so we can order the birth certificate and the Social Security card so that we can purchase their ID. Yeah. So people have up to a year to live at Friendship Mission.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah. Because sometimes we're starting from, where were you born? And it takes them a while to answer. And then sometimes people come to us and they have a car, a job. They just don't have enough money saved to pay rent. So, for instance, we have a resident now. She came to us with a car and a job. So everyone was like, great, this will be easy. You can get her place, right? Housing. No. She makes $9 an hour cutting hair. And she's perfectly okay with that. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You need 2 jobs, or you need to find a job that pays more cutting hair. And she's like, oh, I get to flex my hours. You don't have a trust fund, honey. You know, and she was like, you really want me to pick up another job? Yes. But for years, she has lived like this. Oh, I can rent a room from you at your house. And then when you get sick of me, I'll just go rent a room from you. And this is why your child does not with you. You have a 14-year-old who's living with a 19-year-old and her friends. Mm. Mm. Right. So now you're about to have problems with DHR.
Right, right, right.
Because your 14-year-old is online schooling and wearing inappropriate outfits. And at 11 o'clock at night, you might not know where she is. Mm. And you think you're flying under the radar, but they're going to find you. Mm. And then it's going to be a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. There's another mom who's gotten comfortable at the shelter. Mm-hmm. She was flying under the radar because she had a job. Her children are extremely mannerable. And she has a car. Well, she has a cute little room that was recently renovated by another contractor. She thought, I can just do this. And at $12 an hour, when she first got to the shelter, she caught up her bills. Her car was about to be repossessed. So she got that caught up. She's no longer in car trouble. She caught up another bill. Her bank, she owed her bank $125. And it wasn't until we said, everybody needs to show how much they're saving, that she panicked. Well, we're watching your Amazon packages come through, so clearly you're not saving anything. And she called and panicked one day, and she said, the bank won't give me a savings account. That's usually not how that works. What have you done? Oh, I might owe them some money. How much do you owe them? $125. Mm-hmm. If you don't go pay that today, we're going to box. So she wouldn't pay them. Then she got her taxes done. But she thought she could pay. Well, I have money. I can pay for my taxes. No, ma'am. You're going to go to this free program that Alabama State offers. And you're going to get your taxes done. She said, do they know what they're doing? They do. They've been doing it every year since before I was in college there. So you're going to go there and get your taxes done. And she just didn't know. Mm-hmm. So she was going to pay someone, as she always does. But thankfully, that person didn't show up for her appointment that day. So she said, I'm done for free. It's all correct. And I got my refund. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say to that money,
right?
Because you have to move out of here. And housing assistance is not what it was during the pandemic or even before the pandemic. So one of the programs that we connect our residents to is called Rapidly Housing. It is misnamed because there's nothing fast about it at all. But that's the HUD name for it. So it will allow the Mid-Alabama Coalition for the Homeless currently runs our rapid rehousing program in the area. So it will allow the program to pay your deposit and a month's rent. And that's it. And then you have to handle it on your own from then on out. Mm-hmm. So she was waiting for the housing assistance program. Oh, no, you misunderstood. It's going to assist you get in the door, and literally that's it.
Right.
You have to. She goes, well, I can't pay rent anywhere for $12 an hour. Exactly. Go get another job. Mm-hmm. She was like, but I don't want more responsibility. You have to get through that mentality. And if you look at her, you think she just needs a few more to get on her feet. No, she needs more than that. Mm-hmm. She dresses the children neatly. Their hair is always in place. They're mannerable. She's mannerable. But she really thinks this is okay. Mm-hmm. And you just never know. It's like one of those hidden surprises.
Right, right.
And that's what we have to get through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow, I'm sure there's many more stories.
It's impossible to do
without
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm talking to Tom probably. I was so convicted about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I hang out at McDonald's sometime in the morning. And they brought an old lady there. She wasn't all that old. They just dropped her off, you know, with all her bags. The police show up. So I went out to while the police was talking to them, said, well, they took put me out for whatever reason. I have nowhere to go. I think they actually they contacted you. And then I am so convicted. Here we are in a city with a lot of Christians, me being one. We have this huge problem. I mean, huge. We, as a body of Christ, don't seem to be able to work together. We know the federal government can't. We know that. But here, right in front of us, and, you know, I'm just sharing my heart. I'm so convicted because the Bible is full of taking care of the poor and homeless. And I came away, I was just overwhelmed. What do you do? And then whatever. Then the doctor wants you to know, you know, what is the Salvation Army doing? You know, and that's another whole, you know, I could talk all morning to you about all of this. But back to the problem. We have homeless people. We have a serious problem between mental problems, people having no desire. A lot of them don't want to get off. They just want you to take care of them, you know. Yet we have plenty of money. It's in the wrong place. If I go downtown, I see the money going up everywhere. And particularly, I get that, I guess it's the apartment complex that's downtown that the hood has.
Yes.
I mean, that's got the nicest thing going.
Yes. You're right.
So we're on one stream with all this nice stuff, and then we're on the other stream with them standing on the corner of me and y'all. So I'm just cheering. I don't know what to do.
Is that a party complex downtown full?
Yes. The Centennial Hill?
Yeah.
That's full. I think in the time that I've been at Friendships, so that's about 5.5 years, there's maybe been 3 openings. Mm. People don't leave.
Yeah.
And they somehow, it's not supposed to be set up this way, but it honestly seems like if you know someone, mm-hmm. you know, that nobody ever moves, dies, nothing. Like there's never,
there's no movement.
I get in a room.
Me too.
And so, yeah, Centennial Hill is very nice and it's just about impossible to get into it. Yes. And that woman, I think she's the woman who can't, she can barely move. Large woman.
Yep.
She, so I was in the community room, the back of the Women and Children's Shelter with another board member, with Sheldon Martin, and the resident associate on duty has horrible neuropathy, so she can't run. So when I saw her fly around the corner, I thought the building was on fire. But what it was that the ambulance pulled up and gurney and all pushed that woman into the building. And she said, she can't even get off the stretcher. What are we going to do? So I went flying to the front and she said, hey, I heard you've been holding a bed for me. That's not what we said.
No.
Goodness. Because she literally, they could not, our parking lot is very shallow. So it's right here at the front door. And she couldn't make it. She couldn't walk from the gurney to the front door. Mm-hmm. And so from the ambulance in the parking lot to the front door. So they pushed her in on the gurney and we cannot take care of you. You're very sweet, but no. And we gotten many calls from Genesee's cleaners because she was camped out outside mm-hmm. there, and there were law enforcement officers calling, and it was terrible. Yes. And so
where do they take somebody?
They can. Social workers at the hospital can work to get folks into nursing homes mm-hmm. where we can't.
Okay.
But they can. So assisted living, because she's not that old. So assisted living was where she needed to be. Last week, we had a woman dropped literally on our front porch. And that was another phone call. The accountant got stuck on desk duty somehow. She called me screaming, emergency. There's an old woman on the porch, and she has 2 walking canes. Oh, we can't do this. And then I realized who she is. Long history of homelessness has been put out of every single hotel that thought about letting her in. The police call, get a call and say, come get her. She's not cooperative at all. And her family lives between Deetsville and Prattville. So they're local. They just don't want to deal with her. Mm-hmm. And so Adult Protective Services got involved finally, and they came out. So Jackson Hospital had her dropped off on our front porch. And so so we play the waiting game. And which hospital, which ambulance will come pick her up? So it took two different calls. One ambulance pulled up, realized who it was, and drove off. Another one pulled up. If I have to stand in front of your bus, I will. You're going to talk to her, and you're going to convince her to go to a hospital. So we ship her to a different hospital and make them keep her for 3 days. 3 days means social work can get her into a nursing home where she belongs. And so, and then Adult Protective Services cannot take custody of adults, but they can force the hand of the family. So one of her daughters mm-hmm. has her power of attorney and her check. Adult Protective Services in Montgomery can cross the line and ride to Deetsville and knock on her door. And so that's what she had to do. Yeah.
Is there somebody that can help them? Medicaid is a beast. Do you have people that can help these individuals get on Medicaid so they can go into the nursing home?
Yes. So it's a, you're right, it's a beast.
It's a beast.
And so what I've done is connected to an attorney who handles disability and Medicaid and all of that. And I just let him call or email, whichever I can do fastest, and say, help. And he will pick a day and show up. So last Thursday was his day. And anybody who has a question about Medicaid, disability, Social Security, you get to this building and you talk to him. Mm-hmm. And he sits there and he makes calls. And he says, okay, I'm an attorney, whatever, and I have Ms. So-and-so here or Mr. So-and-so here, and these are our questions. Mm-hmm. And thank God for him, because I've had the training. So during the pandemic, local Social Security called and said, hey, you work at a homeless shelter. Do you want to be trained on the paperwork? So I said, sure. I sat for 2 days of Teams meetings with stacks of paperwork this big. I still don't know how to do it. But they gave me local phone numbers and email addresses. Right? And now I've met Mr. Smith, just let him do it. So that's super helpful. On Friday, speaking of that, so we have one woman who somehow got herself moved in with an 83-year-old woman, and she lived there. Well, then her check got cut off. So she has a check. Our now resident had a check. Had a Social Security disability check, and she's living with an 83-year-old woman who's not her relative. So the friends, church member, somebody of this 83-year-old woman told the woman who now lives with us, you are taking her money or doing something you shouldn't do, so we're kicking you out. We're evicting you. They brought her to Friendship. And they called and said, hey, this lady says she submitted an application to you. Is that true? And I said, who are you? And she said, look, we're just trying to help this 83-year-old. I said, we expect her today. We do have a bed for her. They drove her. They dropped her off so fast, I almost didn't see them. Dropped and ran. And so her story is at least partially true. She had a check from the government, and it was cut off when they said they accidentally paid her $11,000 too much. What they did was cut her off completely, which led to her homelessness. Well, on Friday, Social Security Administration announced that they do not want to contribute to someone becoming homeless based on their error of overpayment. And so now they will recoup their money with either $10 or 10%, whichever is greater, of the overpayment.
Hmm.
So that leads exactly into what happened with our resident. Because I was going, well, she's going to be with us at least 12 months, because who knows how long it'll
yes.
take.
Mm-hmm. You know, another base.
Right. But now, you know, now they reinstated her Medicaid, but they will send her check again, and we can move her into housing
mm-hmm.
on that check based on her age. And that, I mean, her check isn't much, mm-hmm. but because she went into Social Security at such an early age. But that's going to help. You know, so there's all these things that we run into. A lot of our men, even if they have a small pension, as they used to be called, it all got wiped out when they met that nice lady on the internet.
Oh, goodness.
We have that a lot.
Oh.
And so they have to stay with us for several months to build up, collect their check again, and build up enough so that they can get an apartment.
Mm. Oh, Tara, all the things. So maybe two of your biggest needs right now. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I hate to even narrow it down, but
it's hard to narrow it down because it all flows together.
Yeah.
Just that general unrestricted support, right. financial
mm-hmm.
support,
mm-hmm.
because we just never know what's going to give.
Yeah. What pipe's going to burst.
Right, what pipe's going to burst. And then water. Like that's a weird
still
thing.
Need water bottles.
Bottled okay. water is still a thing.
What about pillows? We did that once.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I went to the pile of pillows and I think we're down to 10 new ones.
Mm.
So pillows, you know, when people move out, I try to sneak that pillow out with them, and sometimes I'm like, grab the pillow, and sometimes I'm like,
well, go ahead. Yeah.
So water bottles.
Do they have to be new pillows?
They really don't. We prefer new ones, but
you can get a new pillow at Walmart for $4.
Yeah, pretty cheap.
I got so many of them stuffed in my closet that
well, she may want those for one day. You never know.
You don't even know they're there.
Well, we can move a time of prayer. I know the needs are great, and I know you talked to Luke, and you know, so you know we're here. But
thank you.
Staffing, mm-hmm. staffing
is our other thing.
You were trying to hire a social worker to get her?
Not yet. I've been given some insight on social work, so we might not have to go that high.
Oh, okay.
It turns out.
Uh-huh.
Is Cameron asking them? I saw him driving the van the other day.
Yep.
He came by and took a whole bunch of pancakes.
He told me.
Yeah.
He told me. So
there's a lot of leftover pancakes after breakfast in the morning.
Yes. Which is pretty awesome. The guys like that. So yes, Cameron is still with us, thankfully. We are down a case manager. We are down several men. That's our biggest need on staffing. One case manager for the women's shelter, because I am not a case manager.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to.
No, it's a patience.
Right.
But men, we need men to work part-time on shelter duty. That's
mm-hmm.
what we call it. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen. Last night, unfortunately, I had an employee who was off the clock, but he was down the street. And we got a call. He got the call that, hey, one of our guys just got beaten up pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an issue because I don't have enough staff members. Sometimes people go out when they shouldn't have, and he shouldn't have gone out that door. It was past curfew, mm-hmm. and you knew there was trouble on the other side of that door. You could have gotten somebody else hurt. So that's an issue with, you know, security because we don't have enough staff. So we're trying to fix that, but sending people coming in with the right heart and mindset, and it's not glamorous work.
Right.
Sometimes when people come in, we're taking them in and asking for their ID, and they hadn't had a bath in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not glamorous. Mm-hmm. But But it is what it is. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just try to help. We appreciate all you do. Thank you. All right. Well, we can move to a time for your brother if he'd like to open us, and Tom will close us, and anybody who would like to join in prayer in between.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this time. This morning with Tara, and I just, my heart goes out to her and all the homeless people and the people that are just suffering, that Lord, they need help. They need Jesus, and that's, Lord willing, why we're doing this, because of your love to us. We are to love others. And Lord, I just get overwhelmed when I listen and see all these different things that are going on. But I thank you for Tara's heart and her willingness to be right there in the middle of it, and probably his only shelter in town that will take anybody, and people just go to friendship, and they have a heart there and compassion to try to do whatever they can do to help them. So I pray that you'd give me wisdom and you'd give us wisdom of how to deal with this problem. Lord, it's about your compassion to us that we need to be showing to these people. And Lord, it can be overwhelming. I'm guilty of that. I just look at it and say, oh, Lord, what to do? And so I don't do anything. So, Lord, it's easy to give money. And we throw money at so many things, but people need your love, and they need to know that you're there and you'll meet their needs and you'll take care of them, even if they don't have the material needs that they have, they need, but you're there. So, I just thank you for this time. I just pray again that you would give us all wisdom, even as a church, as we reach out to either give water or pillars, or find people that would be willing to help down there, and Lord, the caseworkers, they're so important to work with these people that need this help. And Lord, it looks like the homeless situation is just growing all the time, either from mental problems or drug problems or just whatever it is. It's so we pray for revival with us here, and Lord, even in the homeless situation, Lord, that we might see a revival there and people turn and come to you. So I thank you again for this morning to learn more about what's going on so that I can properly be involved and can pray for what is needed. So, again, thank you for Tara and what she's doing. Give her the courage to continue on and just be an encouragement to us that she's there doing this work. So I praise you and thank you for this time in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I thank you for Friendship Mission and what it does. I thank you for the staff there. Thank you, Tara. I'll just give them a special blessing today and throughout this week, and just lift them up and let them know that you stand behind them and what they're doing, and give them the strength to continue to do that. Father, we just pray for the financial needs there, that they would have the resources financially to make repairs and to build out living space for residents and to meet the needs that they are following. Well, we pray especially for the hearts of all those men and women and children that come through Friendship Mission, that, you know, through the compassion that is shown them, that they would, their hearts would be changed, and that they would come to know you, which is the most important thing, all these things, and that would be life-changing in their, for them, and it would set them on path, Father, that would, they would glorify you first, and get out of the troubles that they've been in, Father. Father, we just continue to pray that you would supply the needs there, and may it be of importance to our city officials and our government to get involved and to help them also in their in the resources that they can provide for these citizens. Mm-hmm. Father, I just pray all these things in yourself.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come here this morning and listen to Tara, learn more about this, what they do and how they serve. Lord, it's the hands and feet of Jesus, and we just thank you for their willingness and her willingness to continue to serve people day in and day out. Lord, we just ask that you will encourage them and give them the strength and renew them as they continue to tackle problems that we can't even imagine. Lord, please forgive us when we take things for granted. Lord, pillows and our next meal and a bed at night. Lord, it's just things that we can't even fathom. And we just thank you for those that are willing and that are able to help these people. Hey, also for the funding. There's so many needs, Lord. We just ask that you would provide this and channel it into the right area so that we can serve these people. Lord, we just ask all this in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I agree with these prayers. It's staggering to even try to comprehend the issues that are underlying this homelessness that is in our city and which Tara deals with day by day. And just, Lord, we would pray, and I agree with Bubba, that it would take a spiritual awakening truly in the city to begin to change that. And we pray for our city officials. We pray for others that could make changes. We pray for the bureaucracy that is just seemingly mindless. There are good people there, and yet the bureaucracy just grinds on and prevents people from issues being dealt with, and just multiple layers of issues that results in all this homelessness. Lord, I thank you for Tara and for her strength, and pray that you would continue to sustain her and her staff, and that you would provide the financial resources necessary to do what they are doing, that you would provide the people additional staff that are needed, caseworkers and night managers and so on and so forth. And we do pray that the gospel would be possible to make the gospel clear, that there would be opportunities for that, and that people here at Trinity and other churches would take up this call once again. And there was a time when we did more, yet the challenges have only grown and increased since then. So, Lord, we do pray for the spiritual nature of this ministry, that would be strengthened as well, and that all of this would be done in a way that glorifies you rather than what seems to be happening now in so many ways. And I pray that our churches would just step up and deal with this. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified even in our lives in this day. You've called each of us and blessed us in so many ways. Help us to serve you well. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.